Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Padma Hansa Bhagavatara Asota Sata Sri Srimad. Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Sri Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Prema Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Mayapur Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, all the Dhams Ki, Radha Madhava Ki, Astashakis Ki, Sisi Panchatattva Ki, Sisi Lord Nrisingadev Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Govind Premanandi, all glories, assemble of devotees, all glories, assemble of devotees, all glories, assemble of devotees, all glories, Sisi Gurangaranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 2. Yata He Purasayesha Visnur Pado Parsarpayam Yad Esa Sarva Bhutanam Priya Atmanesvaryaha Sukriti Yata He Purusesa Vishnu Param Payasarpanam Yadesa Sarvabhutanam Priyatmishvara Sukriti Yata He Purusa Yesha Vishnu Param Parasarapanam Yadesa Sarvabhutanam Priyatmasvara Sukriti. Ladies. Yata, in order that he, indeed, purushasya, of a living entity, eha, here, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, palupasaranam, approaching the lotus feet, yet, because, esaha, this, Sarvabhutanam, of all living entities, Priya, the dear one, Atma Ishvara, the master of the soul, the super soul, Sukriti, the best well-wisher and friend. Translation purport by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and a well-wisher of all other living beings. Please repeat. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktanam yagtatapasyam sarvaloka maheshvaram sudam sarvabhutanam yatvadmam santim richati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries simply by understanding these three facts: that the Lord, Supreme Lord Vishnu, is the proprietor of the entire creation, and he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, and that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything. One becomes peaceful and happy for this transcendental happiness. The living entity has wandered throughout the universe in different forms of life and different planetary systems, but he has forgotten his intimate relationship with Vishnu. He has merely suffered life after life. Therefore, the educational system in the human form of life should be so perfect that one must understand his intimate relationship with God or Vishnu. This is very important. Every living entity has an intimate relationship with God. One should therefore glorify the Lord in the adoration of Santaras, or revive his eternal relationship with Vishnu, as a servant in Dasyaras, a friend in Sakyaras, or a parent in Satvalyaras, or a conjugal lover in Madhuryaras. All these relationships are on the platform of love. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in the loving service of the Lord, as stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-28. Yesamaham priyatmam sutasri sukhya gutyas sriyada dasyam esitam. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the super soul, son, friend, and guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived on the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is the perfection of life and the perfection of education. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna. So many points, Prabhupada's covering so many areas here. First is that we have an eternal relationship, each one of us, with God. Each one of us has a personal response and reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. And the educational system, unfortunately, is not designed that way. But in a microscopic view, when we look into a microscope, you can see infinity to a certain degree. And you look out, you get the same reaction. Infinity is a reflection of inside and outside our consciousness. So infinity is an unlimited source that the Supreme Lord provides. Now, right now, the microscopic technology is going halfway, according to one of my scientist devotee friends. They expect someday they'll see the super soul, the jivatma, but Prabhupada says never happened. But at least they've gone halfway. So when you look into a microscope, you can see a lot of things, but ultimately you don't see super soul, the supreme jiva. I'm going to start the class by showing where this whole class goes. I mean, the ultimate end of all this knowledge is contained in a series of examples that are going to be put into the TLVP up on the top in Lord Sringadev's altar. There'll be a whole series of panels, and these are the drawings for it. So now you may want to come a little closer or take a look. This is for the camera, basically. So here's Prahlad in the womb. I'm going to do a whole series here so you can look and see and ultimately don't blow away. So these drawings are meant to be panels. And so the panels will be all around the Lord Nisringadev temple. And ultimately, it started already, but it's on hold now because it's short of the money. And so we know Prahlad got all that information in the womb. And so what kind of a consciousness? He was a pure devotee from birth. So even in the womb, you can imagine 6 months, you're asleep. And for 4 months, you start recognizing 100 different past karma, janmas from the past. 100 come flashing back into your consciousness. So Prahlad was able to pick up on all of that and be receptive to Narada Muni's instruction. So here he is. Reflecting on those, what he had learned in the womb and what he's given to his classmates. And so this unfathomable knowledge that we're getting now from a five-year-old is coming directly from Lord Chaitanya, is directly through Narada Muni. And so that information that we're going to get into later in the class about the conditions of the soul, and the soul is being preached in a couple of universities now in America. There's a couple of devotees that have given classes. Rupanuga started this in Buffalo. But also there's going to be Bhagavad Gita classes here in India and different universities. And so the nature of the soul, which Prabhupada says is not given in universities, has started. So this information is available. So here's Prahlad's father doing his thing. So when Prahlad was kicked off the altar of his father's lap, the father being a full-on demoniac, but he had knowledge. He was a very astute scholar in Brahminical understanding. But when it came to the killer of his brother, it was intolerable to take anything that belonged to Krishna in the way of words. So the first thing he did, he rejected his own son. Can you imagine the son being rejected by your own father? Can you imagine your father throwing you off your lap and just trying to kill you? No, and here comes the killing propensities. So the first is with swords and knives. And so they just couldn't cut through Prahlad. He kept backing away, or anyway, the knives didn't touch him. So there's a whole series of attempts to kill his son. Now, it's just inconceivable that anybody would do that to his son, but here's the elephants. Now, remember, these are all going to be big panels, hopefully around Lord Nisringadev. And so even elephants couldn't do anything. He was protected in everything that he did. And then he's in the rapture of a coil is a big snake. So even in the snake, the most fearful of all things is reptiles and snakes. And so he was thrown into a labyrinth of snakes, and they didn't touch anything but the guys that were down there trying to kill Prahlad. They were chasing the representatives of Hiranyakashipu. So then they took him to a river and they tried to drown him. And so he's in a whirlpool here and he's being sucked down. But actually he's being pulled back up. So nothing could touch Prahlad because ultimately he's protected by the Supreme Lord. And so then, this is a little exaggeration, but then came the stones, and they were trying to stone him to death. This is a biblical thing. They were, in the time of Christ, killing the person by stoning as an act of adultery and different crimes that were not permitted in that time of Christ. So it didn't work. The stones didn't work. So then came the fire. And if you've ever been close to fire, you know it's painful. And so Prahlad just sat there unaffected by the fire, and unaffected by everything. Then these Rakshasas and representatives of Hiranyakashipu try to throw him off a cliff. And ultimately he's light as a feather, so it didn't. And there was one painting that shows him being protected, caught in the hands of Krishna. And so Prahlad protected all the way through. And this is a little bit of a more imagination, but he was frozen to death, or tried to be frozen to death. And that's a very difficult way to go. So then he gave everything else up, and Rani Kashipu invited Prahlad to dinner, and then he gave him a cup of poison, so that didn't work. The poison became nectar. It was like Amrita. So then there was illusions. There's a double page. So these illusions were created by Hiranyakashipu and his different friends. And so these illusions were created one after another, and it was mainly about threatening animals, crocodiles. Recently, there's a place in Orlando where there's condominiums all around a big lake. And so all around that lake is a sign saying, don't swim. But one little boy got swallowed by an alligator. So these illusions may be illusions, but they're very real in terms of dreams that we have. So dreams are real. You know, we just affect by the illusions that take place in the material world. So anyway, that's it. So this is just a sample of some of the killing propensities that take place in the future with Prahlad. I just want to get into it and show you the ultimate end of where this whole chapter thing goes. So about the institutions that are available in the material world today. Today's class, Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his children's playmates, it might be parallel to what Prabhupada was speaking to the hippies of the early 60s. And so I was too old to be a hippie and too young to be a beatnik, so I was stuck in the middle. But in any case, in that hippie environment, it was a good opportunity to be free of attachments. So the same thing with the demoniac children. They're too young to have attachments. But if you're young in mind, you can learn this philosophy. But basically, it's not given to young people, old people. It's given to young people. That's why Prahlad talked to the boys, and that's why Prabhupada spoke to us. Because we're young. And we gave up attachments. We gave up the attachments that our parents had. I was just one of thousands and thousands of people that did the same thing. And Prabhupada, on one morning walk, he gave the reason for the Vietnam War. And so it all equates here. That the reason for the Vietnam War, believe it or not, does anybody know what it was? Nobody knows. It was to kill the blacks and to kill the hippies. So the whole Vietnam War was an instrument of the demoniac American government by Lyndon Baines Johnson to kill off the whole problem that was going on in America. America was besieged by all these peace walks and big, huge demonstrations in front of the Capitol building. And so he wanted to stop all that. And the only way to do it was to draft everybody. That's why they're burning the draft cards. But the ultimate reason that Prabhupada said was in a car conversation with Rameshwar, to kill off that whole, mostly the people that were killed in the Vietnam War were blacks, because they were in the front. And so this happened, and very clearly it destroyed the hippie movement. So the hippie flower movement, when these people were putting flowers, the hippies were putting flowers in the gun barrels, and so it was a protest, any kind of killing. And Cassius Clay, a friend of mine, was a very strong supporter and close friend of that boxer, and he refused. I have no friends, no enemies, and I especially don't have any enemies in Vietnam. So in any case, that was the beginning of the whole thing. It's interesting what Prabhupada says about religion. In this here, in this purport, and the one before and after, he talks about religion as a means to attain higher sense gratification. So you go to church, you go to the mosque, you go wherever you go, and so you pray to God to give you more facility. What's that facility? Does it get more economic development, greater sense gratification? In the Catholic Church, you go to confession on Saturday night, so Sunday you can start sinning all over again. You get a new chapter in sinning. And so all the religions have that kind of facility. you're forgiven. But Prabhupada says, you can't go on with that. So forgiveness comes once or twice, then there's no more forgiveness. So if you're committing the same sins over and over again, ultimately they're not forgiven. And so that's the status of religion. And that's what Prabhupada, very unusual terminology for religion, is that the facility for greater sense gratification is given, benedicted, you know. In modern education, and starting in Vrindavan, the Gurukula system, it was very clearly by Prabhupada's standard for most of the beginning. It was just a little bit of education in science and a little bit of knowledge in Sanskrit, a lot of knowledge in Sanskrit, but a little bit in Hindi and Bengali and English, and a little bit of math. No facilities given in this great study. Not, we don't want to make big mathematicians or scholars in any kind of these material sciences, but it's a spiritual program. And so the boys were given a whole spiritual program to follow, and they were really closely following that in the early days. But then it changed. Then the syllabus became more what the government prescribes. If anybody's been to higher education, any from grammar school, high school, college, postgraduate, it's all syllabus of garbage. So you cram to get the study done, pass the test, and after you finish the test, you forget it all anyway. So, but spiritual knowledge is not that. The spiritual knowledge is meant to permeate into our existence and take us into the next level of going higher into spiritual life. And so that's, if you're asking ever, how can I go more advanced in my chanting? How can I advance more in spiritual knowledge? It's to go deeper. So that's the prescription. If you want spiritual advancement, you got to go deeper, deeper. And the deeper you go in terms of reading, first reading, especially Bhagavatam, first reading, you get maybe 10% because your mind's too spaced out, at least I'm talking personally. So 10% in the beginning. And if you read again, you get another 30 because now you're more attentive. And if you read the third time, you might pick up at least 75%. And so that's what we're after, to go deeper into spiritual realization. And so that is the parameter. So our desires should be of not following the program. There's a program going on by many devotees in the West. Unfortunately, it's a noose that drags you right down into Maya, and that's called economic development. It's a nice, sweet word for taking money. And so ultimately, everybody's affected by the course of getting more money. We need it to survive. But Prabhupada said there's a parameter of how to do that, and that is take as much as you need, but no more. And so, in other words, you don't have to overdo for anything. And I kept trying to tell my father this before I was a devotee. He had three jobs. He worked day and night. Finally came back and just crashed. And it was just too much work. I said, Dad, why are you working so hard? He says, well, someday you'll learn. Well, I never learned, because ultimately you don't have to work that hard. You work hard enough to make your living, support a family, do your responsibilities, and get out of the whole system. No sense gratification for those who are like, you know, austere and taking the path of devotional service. I was preaching to a Rotary Club and a Kiwanis Club in my hometown. And here was a whole group of people, retired. And so when you talk to them about the same point, about not having any need for economic development, it was like, because they're all retired. They spent their whole life working, slaving. I mean, unbelievable, people driving. Well, if you go to Calcutta, don't go on a weekend, especially Monday morning, because the train is packed full of people going to Calcutta. So go on Sundays if you have to go to Calcutta. And so it's like that all over the world. Commuters are packing in Japan, they're packing in. And you certainly in India, the same thing. They're right on top of the trains, in between the cars. It's just like, you know, pandemonium. One time I rode to Delhi on top of the bus, and everything got blown away. But ultimately, don't endeavor for sense gratification through the form of money, because it comes automatically. And this is something that Prabhupada states, he gives in the next verse, that everything is given to us on an automatic basis from the time of birth. How much money we're going to make, when we're going to get married, how many kids we're going to have. The whole program is all set up at the time of birth from past desires. And so what we are now today, I must have desired in a past life to be born in America and get into sense gratification because I got this body. So just think of your own bodies. Whatever body you get, ultimately that's your past karma, making a complete identification, tailor-made, is exactly prescribed to what our desires were in our past life. So now the same thing reverts to this present life. So whatever we do in this life ultimately is going to form our next body. So who wants a next body? I don't think anybody here. So it's a spiritual body. And no more eyes, no more problem with lungs and problems of the body that has perpetual problems with it. So ultimately, a spiritual body is what we want next. Now, the whole thing about wasting time, in the material world, I mean, I saw this in my last 5 months in America. I was marooned. I had to work because of visa problems. So I was in my sister's house, and the whole daily activity, I used to make her coffee in the morning, get her mail, get the newspaper, do everything as a service to my dear sister who was giving me a facility to stay in the house. But it was snowing, it was cold outside, couldn't get out. So in any case, and her opening up the mail was one bill after another, one advertisement after another, a junk mail. There's a great philosopher, W.C. Fields, in America, who said, there's a sucker born every day. And so we have that propensity if we get sucked into the system. I tried to find a way to get into work and find a way to survive in this material system, but it just doesn't happen because it's too tight. Already there's 10 people for one job. Now, the next step, what Prabhupada said in his card to Rameshwar, he says that the downfall of the society, all societies, will be the economic collapse. When that happens, there'll be a big surge of unemployment. And unemployment will bring down the biggest governments, like America and Russia, because unemployment will cripple the whole society. So what will happen in terms of the future is that all these people who are unemployed, and guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to our farms. And probably we have to be ready for that, because at some point when these farms are inundated by millions of people are going to come to our movement in the future. And the future of this movement is prescribed by Srila Prabhupada to run the governments. We are going to run society. Devotees in the future are children's children, maybe children, who knows, but they're going to be adept and very advanced in spiritual knowledge because of the purity of line. And so by that point, there could be devotees running all the governments. So you can imagine the Prime Minister of Russia, a devotee, wearing tilak, and the Prime Minister, the President of America, with tilak, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. All glories when that day comes. So I want to give an analogy that comes at the end of this talk, but I'll give it now. There's an analogy, the cave analogy of Socrates. Anybody heard of the cave analogy? Very few. So it's all based on Socrates was a Muni, according to Prabhupada. He could understand a lot of the future and past activities. So he was advanced in his knowledge in terms of material rights and wrongs. So they tried to kill him because he was too advanced. And they attempted was done Prabhupada also, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's life. And so, because if you get too advanced, you become in the eye of governments, and they don't want to be threatened by Prabhupada, especially the movement was growing so fast, became a real threat. CIA started taking notice. So, the cave analogy is a bunch of people chained to a wall by their own desires. Now, nothing is stronger than a chain of your own desires. It means sense gratification, your family, your friends, your country, whatever it may be, money, acquisition of power. So all that is chains that bind you to the back of this wall. So behind these people is a fire, and the fire is putting shadows on the front wall. So these are dancing images of the people who are chained into that wall, into that labyrinth. It's dark, where there's no light. And so most people in the material world are like that. They are chained to their own desires, and they only go through existence to find the ultimate end in agony. They have no knowledge of what's going to happen at the time of death. So ultimately, these are the people chained to the wall. It's their own desires that you can't liberate a person who's chained by his own desires. And so one person happened to manage to get free. He climbs to the top out of the cave and he sees light. He says, well, there's another world. You know, there's a spiritual world. We see something that's never been seen or shown before in a dungeon, in this dark, cold place. The miners got the same problem. They're under the ground, you know, searching for coal or diamonds, whatever they do. But ultimately, and they come up, and some get trapped down there and they die from suffocation. And so most of the people in the material world die in suffocation because they don't know the light. They've never seen it. They never came out of their cave. And so my friends and sisters and relatives, they all were in that unbelievable predicament. No knowledge. They don't want it. They don't want to hear the truth. So a warning to all devotees, if you go back to your friends and your relatives, be very careful because they may try to kill you. But that's what happens in the analogy of the cave. The man who saw light and saw that there was another world went back into the cave and tried to liberate his friends. The first one he unchained, killed him. So be very careful when you start preaching in your own community where you preach to your friends and relatives. They may try to do you in because they try to convince you not to kill you but to bring you back to your own old consciousness. They'll say, why have you changed like this? Why are you wearing this funny dress? Why you got your head shaved? What's this mark on your face? And so, listen, we want the old person to come back. So, in any case, that's the analogy, the cave. You just can't go back if you're already liberated. We mentioned there was 6 months where you're asleep in the womb, and then the rest of the time, another 4 months where you wake up and you get the different understandings about your previous lives. And so most people don't get out of that. They spend their whole time, caught up in, it probably gives it 75 years you're wasted in all different ways out of 100 years. Nobody lives beyond their 80s anyway. So there's very little bit of time that's given in terms of what is available for spiritual life. So there's a symbol of the Gordian knot that's by Alexander the Great, his life story. And so the Gordian knot, it's a symbol of something that's tied up and can't be undone. So our lives, our spiritual lives, are free. But until we untie that knot, that binding force within the material world, be it friends, relatives, family life, sex life, whatever it may be, there's a binding force. That Gordian knot, Alexander was given the chance to break that knot, and he just cut it with his sword. And so the way to cut that knot is devotional service. And again, the answer is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. That's the cutting of the knot. So, there's two things that are, I want to mention this. There are two objects that have caused detrimental effect in society. And you can't believe what they are. It's the ball and it's chair. Two very simple things, a ball and a chair. Okay, the ball is being kicked, banged, shot. The ball, hit with a racket. It's been different kinds of games that have been played throughout the human society. So each one of those games is a means by which the people gamble. And so you don't want to be caught in by the gambling effect and by the ball, playing games and wasting your whole life. And the other is the chair. So there are chairs, but a chair with the name on the back, director, or a chair with title, or trying to get the kingship, trying to get elevated. So ultimately, it goes nowhere. The more you strive for advancement in society, the further away you are. So the ball in terms of gambling, now on television in America, in most places, the four regular principles are broken every day. They advertise meat, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. I mean, it's all advertised in different ways with beautiful ladies selling different stupid products. So you see cosmetics, lawyers advertising, cars, you see perfumes, whatever it is, but it's a whole diffuge of taking us away, losing our mentality. If you're sitting in America and you're sitting on a sofa and you're watching TV, now I fell into this because I was marooned for this cold time. So your mind starts to flicker away. Pretty soon spiritual life is way off in the distance, a million miles away. You start getting into the system. And so you want to get the products. You want to enjoy the lifestyle. If it's not available and you can't get into that greater knowledge that they propose on television, like giveaway programs, where millions of dollars are given away. And they propose this giveaway system that ultimately money is available and it's very easy to get in America. It's not. And so in terms of trying to excel in an environment where it's being put down all the time by these different modes, and so ultimately you give it up. At some point people give up and they just don't know what they expect at the time of death. You see your relative die, your mother and father, they died. Everybody's dying, but nobody looks like you to stare, answer the question. Nobody can believe their own death will ever happen. So it comes as a very big surprise. And the shortness of life is so short that we can't waste a moment in material existence. So we're all here because by blessing of Srila Prabhupada, and we are saved. So one thing, once you're on a ship that's going back home, back to Godhead, you don't jump off. You don't dive off and go back to the material world. If you got to go back to get money, do it quickly and just get back. Don't let it drag on, because the longer you wait, the harder it is to get back. I had one friend in Vrindavan. He said, I'm just going back to London, make money, I'll come back. I said, don't go. It's hard to get back once you go out. And so he went out, went back to London, got caught up in drugs, got put in prison and hung himself. So ultimately, the end result, a person who kills himself, is it doesn't work. You're not going back home by killing yourself. One devotee, Ruchi, did that. I kept seeing this devotee. He was parked under the tree in front of the guest house in Vrindavan, looking like he didn't know what to do with himself. And so ultimately I asked him, I said, Prabhu, you look indecisive. If you got something on your mind, just do it. If you want to distribute more books, go out and do it. I didn't know what he had on his mind. Anybody knows the future of Ruchi, what happened to him. You probably don't know. And then Ruchi decided, I saw something that in the deity room that all the acharya pitchers, new guys, were put on top of Prabhupada. He said, don't tell me anymore, I can't stand it. 2 days later, he goes out and kills himself. He threw himself under the train tracks of the Radharani Express. So that's not the way to get back home, back to Godhead. Ultimately, you go into a greater misery. And so it's not forgiven. You can't take your own life. And so the whole process is to get us through the material attachments. And although the attachments are strong, even for a devotee. And so you have to break through that and by going deeper into spiritual life. And ultimately, if you get a routine set up, just keep going into your routine. And ultimately, it's a moment later and you're back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Robert Bernandi. Any questions? Let me just review again if there's no questions. Oh, there's one thing I wanted to mention about how the Jivatma comes back to the material world. Anybody know how it happens? But how? How does it happen? In what form do you come back? No, that's not true. That may be true, but you come back as a bubble. You come back as a jiva comes back in the form of water, rain. So Prabhupada says, it rains, just think of this all this rain we're getting now. This is jivatma is coming down in big, huge force. So all that rain is just people coming into the material world again. And so it's not known by anybody, except Prabhupada gave that information to us, that ultimately we come in that shape as a raindrop. Then you grow, a plant grows, a grain grows, and you take that grain, you know, a man takes it, and the semen passes that jivatma into the womb of a mother, and that mother absorbs that, and pretty soon it happens, you get a child in all species of life. And so that's how it comes. It comes in rain. So a lot of things happen in the material world. We have no idea what's going on. So we have two guides. We have Krishna within a super soul. And if you listen closely to your heart and that conscience, you got a co-pilot. God is our co-pilot, Paramatma. And so he's our spiritual guide, our guardian angel, and all those things, conscience. And so if we listen to our conscience very softly, that little voice in our heart will speak. He's only that big, about an inch and a half. That's Paramatma's the size in the heart. And so if we listen to that voice, ultimately we go back home, back to Godhead, because there's a guide to take us there. Any questions? No questions. Yeah, go ahead.
As you mentioned, this is a very controversial topic, that how living being they came first in this material world. Very controversial topic, this topic.
Say it again.
There is a great controversy over that.
Simplify the question and give it in English.
So, like, I just want to clarify that did living being they came from a spiritual world or just like they were somewhere else and then like that. What is the clarification for that? Ultimate clarification.
Well, the information we're getting in Bhagavatam class will take us back home, back to Godhead. Because ultimately we're in the spiritual world right now. Everybody here is sitting in the spiritual world, believe it or not. Here we are. Somehow we have arrived by good fortune, by Prabhupada's mercy. We've come to the point where we actually take Bhagavatam classes and the speaker, the hearer, it's all the same. Ultimately, this is a spiritual world. And whatever nectar comes out, it's all meant for one reason only, to advance us in spiritual life and bring us back home, back to Godhead. And so all these analogy of the cave, analogies of, you know, of everything that happens in the material world, and the unfortunate predicament that most of the people in the world are affected by, all these modes, the three modes work really strong. And karma is a thing that never stops. Now people ask, what happens to people, why a baby dies, and why some innocent little kids are killed? Why is all that? Because ultimately it's an unseen rule that happens that we know about is karma. But people in the material world have no idea what's going on. And they see something tragic happen, like a whole country hit by famine. And so many diseases. And ultimately it's collective karma that's being shown here. That if there's something happening on a global scale, like tsunamis and so many different ways people are killed. So ultimately, it's karma. So the karma has worked in our favor because we had the desire to become devotees, and we somehow made contact with Srila Prabhupada. And so by good fortune, because of that contact, we are here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Brahmanandi. All glory to Samavati.